Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Wassalatu Wassalamu Rasulullah. Welcome to our program, Lifting the Fog, a program designed to remove the misconceptions, misunderstandings, and the misrepresentations about Islam and what Islam teaches. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. For the next few minutes, I'd like to talk about a subject which is a bit dear to me and near to all of the Muslims, and that is the subject of dealing with some of the harsh questions and the attacks and bad treatment coming toward Islam and what it's teaching. I recall many years ago, before I was a Muslim, and in fact I was preaching Christianity, and someone told me that I was going to be meeting a Muslim. I recall exactly what came in my mind. Oh no, these guys are terrorists, hijackers, kidnappers. They don't believe in God. They kiss the ground 5 times a day and they're worshiping a black box in the desert. I remember those words. And I remember when I actually met a Muslim, I was surprised that he didn't seem to be anything like what I anticipated. In fact, as I got to know more about Islam, I realized that in fact, the exact opposite was the case. The things that people had been telling us, what we read in the newspaper, what we saw on the television and had been observing through magazines and various periodicals, was just misrepresentation and in some case outright lies. So this program that we're doing right now is intended to remove that fog, that misunderstanding. And when we talk about this subject, especially, and our topic tonight is the subject of violence, harsh treatment. Because, in fact, if that's something to do with the religion, this man right here does not want to be part of it. I don't want anything to do with violence or harsh treatment. Many people have said that Islam is about this. But what was their evidence? And this is what we're going to really be focusing on here. If someone would come to me or to you and say to you, why is Islam so violent? Why do you have so much hatred in Islam? Or my religion, let's say if it was a Christian perhaps, he might say, my religion is a religion of love, whereas yours is one of being too strict and too harsh and having violence, people beating people. You know it's not true, and I know it's not true, but how are we going to respond to them? What would be the manner in which way we would address such a thing as this? Well, first of all, we need to set a tone for the conversation that's going to be on even keel. And the way to do that, inshallah, God willing, is to take them off this harsh position by saying, thank you for asking me about my religion. This really helps a lot when you say that. And then if they've got more they want to say, let them say their peace first. Don't argue with them. Don't try to establish some kind of a manadhara or debate, because this is not about a debate. Whenever you're going to have a debate, you're talking about a subject which is where both people have an opinion and both opinions could have some veracity. But when somebody is bringing something that's an outright lie, something that's a mistake, then that's not something to debate about. Let them bring what they have and then tell them, okay, is that it? Do you have anything else? No, okay. Thank you for asking me about my religion. The next thing you want to mention is the fact that in Islam, we have to tell the truth. It isn't permissible for me to lie. I can't tell them something that's not true. In fact, Allah has told us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu wattaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Here we see a verse of the Quran ordering us, if you've got belief, if you're a believer, if you have faith, then you have to have this taqwa for Allah. Fear Allah and always speak the truth. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, told us that a liar is not a believer. So the next point is to tell him we also have the proof. We have the truth and we have the proof. The proof meaning that whatever I tell you, you can check it out for yourself. Because there's evidence authenticated and preserved for 1,400 plus years. And you can look to it yourself, translated into so many different languages, exactly what is Islam. the story of Muhammad, his biography, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is known as the Sirah of the Prophet, is well preserved. In fact, there's not anybody on the planet that has had so many biographies written about him as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, understanding that, we let them know that we also have the Quran. Everything about the Quran is preserved the same way. There's no doubt for us about what the Quran teaches. So, with this amount of historical evidence available, it's obvious that we couldn't tell a lie anyway. They could check it out. So we have the truth, we have the proof. The evidence is there. The next thing we should mention to them, that whenever somebody asks a question, sometimes you have to analyze the question. You have to look to the question and see, is it really a question, or does it have statements in it that aren't true? In which case, we have to straighten it out. And then the next thing. The next thing is that while I'm giving you the answer, and you're listening to the response, if you hear something that makes you say, gee, I didn't know that. Wow, this is something nice for me. If you hear yourself saying, you like it, it makes sense, then I've got a question for you. Would you then be prepared to consider your position and think about worshiping God alone without partners? Because guess what? That's what Islam is about. Worshiping God without partners. And this is the way. Islam is the way. Then usually what I like to do right here is wait for them to respond. Now if they indicate to me that they're willing to listen to what I have to say, and they're willing to consider the answer, then I think it's fair that I should take my time and sit with them to the best of my ability and try to help them in getting a better grasp on what Islam is really about. So what I like to do then is to break down the words. We're using things out of the Arabic language. It's not fair. It's not fair to them, and it's really not fair to us to try to present this message in another language other than Arabic, unless we qualify what we say and explain the words. Even some Muslims today who don't speak Arabic, but they follow the Quran in Arabic, are not aware of some of the beautiful tones of the Quran. They don't really get the idea of what the beautiful language is here and how to use it. I'll give you an example. Muslims always talk about the word Islam. We use it so much, nobody ever bothers to translate that. You never see in any books that this is a language of peace or a religion of submission. We say Islam. That's all we say. So let's look at that word and break it down, though, and find out what's in it. Tell them that's what you want to do. And it comes from the root, salamah. Salama. And from there come salam, taslim, istislam, taslimu, and peace, salam. All of this is coming out of there. And what it means when you have the perfected verb in the form of Islam, this is a verb, it's calling for an action. It's a relationship between two things. The relationship here, of course, is between Allah and what He has created, us. So this needs to be understood on five words, which means, first of all, surrender, to give up. Submission, which is to totally submit to some terms. Obey. Now this means to actually adhere to the submission. In other words, follow through on what you're going to do. And then the next one is sincerity. The fourth word is sincerity. It means that you're going to do these things whether anybody is watching or not. You're going to do it because you are really sincere for the sake of this particular action. And then finally, peace, salam. The peace in Islam indicates the salam between you and the Almighty. Because when there is total peace between you and God, this transcends even the human emotion called love. It goes far above that. this deep inner peace that comes about as a result of knowing that you are surrendering, submitting, obeying, and in sincerity, all of this, and in peace. If you think about it like that, I doubt seriously if you'd get much of an argument out of a Christian, a Jew, or a Hindu, or anybody else, because it makes sense that a person should be trying to obey their Creator. They should be attempting to do their best to be in line with what God wants them to do. But most people don't take the time to understand that this word is not an Arabic word that Muhammad, peace be upon him, came up with 1400 years ago and said, okay, I got a new religion called Islam and you have to do it. In some of our other programs, we've really broken it down even more. We talked about the word deen and explained that that's a way of life. We talked about the word Allah and why this is the perfect word to describe the only one worthy to be creation, the creator of all the creation, because it's Allah who makes everything, yet He's not made. And the word Allah actually shows you in it because it can't be made plural. It can't have anything come after it. Additionally, it's not male or female, so it's not like creation. We realize that Allah is alive, but we don't compare Him to life in this creation. We talked about these things to greater extent in some of the other programs, but I want to set the tone for what we're going to talk about now, because when people are coming to you and asking about why is there terrorism in Islam, and why is there hatred and animosity and vengeance, violence, etc., it's important for us to calm this down and set a tone that people could relax and say, okay, I get what you're saying, that makes sense to me. And using that mindset, then we can go into the next part of our subject, which is to answer the particular question. Now, there's going to be times when you won't really know how to answer it. You just want to say a general answer. Like, for instance, well, no, Islam is really not like that. Well, that's a good answer. It's true, but it won't be very convincing. They're expecting you to say that. So it would be a good idea for us as Muslims to attend halakas and circles to get the proper knowledge, to also read more books and to sit with the scholars. Allah even tells us in the Quran how to seek knowledge, and He gives us two things to do. One thing He tells us in the Quran that we need to do is to say, Rabbi zidni ilma, my Lord, increase my knowledge. The other thing is to go to the people of knowledge and sit with them and learn from them. And that's basically why we're having this program right now. What I'd like to do is to set this tone so that you can see how to use this in all of your answers. And then I'm going to be specific and come to this particular question about the violence and activities, etc., that we hear about in Islam, and focus on that in the next part of our segment. So what I'd like for you to do now is think about what I just said and ask Allah to guide you. And then stay tuned right here because we're going to be right back after this. You're watching Lifting the Fog. Bismillah. We're back and you're watching Lifting the Fog, removing the misconceptions, misunderstandings, and misrepresentation about Islam and what it teaches. In the first part of the program, in our earlier segment, we discussed the way to respond whenever somebody comes to you with harsh attacks or questions against Islam. What we said was that it's important for us to first establish that we are willing to have a dialogue with them and set the tone in a nice way by letting them know that it's okay for them to ask us about our religion. The other thing we mentioned was that we should let them know that we're going to tell the truth to the best of our ability, because that's in our religion, and we don't want to go to hell. And in Islam, if you don't tell the truth, you're in a bad way. And then we came to an important part, which is the evidences of Islam. We have the proof behind what we say. It's just not a matter of me saying what I want to say. You say what you want to say. I can have a dream, or you can have a mood change, or change the whole picture. Actually, in Islam, we have evidence to show exactly what the teachings are. It's well preserved for 1400 years. Now that we've said all of that, the next thing we talk about is that while they're listening to the answer, while we're presenting the response to what they've said to this attack, that if they find that some of the things that they said were not correct, and if they discover that some of these things in fact are really good and they like it, would they be prepared to reconsider their position? That's the way I like to use that term. Would you be prepared to reconsider your position? Meaning that, well, you're on something and I'm on something, but if you like what I've got better than yours, what are you going to do about it? Because if they will, then we're going to be asking them to consider worshiping Allah alone without any partners. There's a number of ways to bring that up, but you may be wondering, why would I be doing that when this guy's attacking Islam? Actually, it's strange but true that when people are in the most aggressive form to come at us, if Allah wants to guide them, they can just turn 180 degrees all the way around and become just as strong a proponent for Islam as they were one against Islam just a few minutes ago. This is historically true, and the evidence is preserved in the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when in fact there was a person who came to attack Islam. He was with the enemies, and they were fighting in battle. There was a truce, and then this person came to meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he did, then the next thing he realized that, you know what, I like Islam. He began then doing what? He began to fight with, on the side of the Muslims, against the people that he was with that morning. And he wound up dying and becoming a shaheed or a martyr for Islam in the same afternoon. Now, of course, we're not going to talk in this kind of extreme, but at least you can see that this could happen. And it was Omar radiallahu anhu who had come to actually kill Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and yet when he saw him, he just totally changed. And he's like, you know what? This is what I want for me. So that's why I'm using this as a technique in presenting Islam. If you discover you like something here, what are you going to be able to do about that? So then we give them the answer. Now let's come to this specifically, talk about that topic. Now their topic in this case is about violence. It's about kidnapping. It's about, killing people, suicide bombers, all of the types of things that they may bring up. And what would be our way to deal with this? How are we going to answer that? The word itself, when we just broke it down, Islam, listen to what we just told them. We told them Islam is about surrender to God, submission to His commandments and His terms, obedience, doing it after you say you're going to do it, and then doing it in sincerity. This means, of course, you'd do it even if nobody was watching. And finally, you do it all in peace. Now, did you hear any word here that indicates violence? No, it's the opposite. When you talk about salam, when you talk about tasneeman, you're not talking about violence. You're talking about the opposite of it. So Islam does not contain, as a word, anything to do with violence. As a concept, nothing to do with violence. And certainly as a way of life for the Muslims, there is nothing about Islam dealing with terrorism and violence. These concepts, these ideas, are coming from something that's a very distorted picture of some realities. Now, if they said specifically, we saw in the Quran, it says here, kill these people, slaughter these people. Well, let's look and see what it really says. Because one of the things that I found, remember, I used to be a preacher, or what they call in Arabic, qasis. I was a qasis for the Christians before coming to Islam. So nobody is going to be a stronger proponent for Christianity and an enemy to Islam than me. But yet, step by step, I began to learn. Now, wait a minute. I've been told this, but I'm seeing something different. I've heard that. But now I'm seeing a different picture here. It takes time. Nobody is going to just jump right into Islam without some kind of setup for it. It has to come from inside them. So don't push the people, but take your time and answer it. In the Quran, there is a very clear word used, qital. Qital is the word that is used that many people point to when they translate to English. It says in some of the translations, slaughter the people or kill the people. So this is taken out of context. And when I say out of context, you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. One of the things that people do, and it's not right, but it will help us in the long run, is they lie. Or they take things out of the context, change the verbiage in such a way to misrepresent. And again, that's why we have this program, Clearing the Fog. Watch this. I saw it in the internet. It says that Islam teaches violence and murder. And they misquoted an ayah from the Quran by saying, listen to this, that God is ordering Muslims, kill all of the Christians and Jews wherever you find them. There's no verse like this in the Quran. Look, go ahead, take your time, look it up for yourself, and tell me, are you finding anything like that? And they say, yeah, we found it right here. It says this. And it's in Surah Baqarah. And it's in Surah At-Tawbah. And it's in Surah Al-Ma'idah. We found evidence of this with this word. What they found in the translation is translators trying to find a way to convey a message. And then they purposely did not put it in the context by reading all the verses. In fact, they purposely did something very bad, which is to misquote, take some of the words out, and add words that are not there. To go a little bit further on this subject. Okay. Go to the Quran that you have. I know if you have it in English, you think it's Quran, but trust me, it's not. It's a translation, and it's never going to be as good as the Quran. But go to chapter 2 and look at verse 191. This is the verse that they're misquoting. When it says, and kill them wherever you find them, and turn them out from where they turned you out. Now, they're not going to tell you that part because they don't want you to see that this is referring to something in a verse before it. Obviously, there's something going on here. Turned you out from where? What are you talking about? What is this all about? And in reality, you have to go all the way back to verse 189. Because look what's happening here in verse 189. Yasalunaka is the way it begins. They're asking you. This is what Allah, God Almighty, is saying to Muhammad. They're asking you, the people are asking you some questions. One, about the moons. They're asking about the moon when it comes and the months and so on. And Allah is telling him how to answer. Tell him that these moons are indications of the change of the month, so you know about making Hajj and you know about your fasting and you know about the various things that Islam is having the Islamic month or lunar calendar. And then it's another question that people had asked about what door do we need to enter our house by? That's the next question that's coming up. And Allah tells the Prophet, peace be upon him, tell him to enter the doors by the front. Don't go in the back doors thinking it's more pious or righteous. That is not righteousness. And Allah tells him that righteousness is what? It's the right belief and the right kind of actions. It's what's in your heart, not what door you go in. And they're also asking Muhammad ﷺ about Hajj. How are we going to make Hajj when the people, that's a pilgrimage by the way, the people where we used to live, which this is Mecca and that's where you make the pilgrimage, how am I going to go there and try to make Hajj when the people there have violated every treaty that we've had and they've killed us and they turned us out from our homes, they stole our possessions. Now you start to get the idea because they were never allowed to fight back. That was 13 years they couldn't fight back. Now comes the permission here in the Quran, not just permission, ordering them. Now you go and where you find these people, you can kill them in combat. Because qital is indicating combat, not a slaughtering, not a sneaking up behind people and doing violence to them. Go and fight them where they fight you. Turn them out from where they turned you out, meaning to go back and get your property back. But look what Allah says. But if they stop, then you stop. Don't be a transgressor, because verily Allah does not love the transgressors. If you understood what I just said, that makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? Think about it. This is what we're saying. That somebody is purposely misrepresenting the Quran, taking verses out of context. When I've shown this to the Christians and the Jews, you know what they've always said to me? Oh my God, I've seen people do that with the Bible. The same thing in the Bible. They take what they want and leave something out and even added words. And I say, now you show me where does it say Jews and Christians in here, because it doesn't say that. Islam is not against Jews and Christians and never has been. I would love for them to sit with me and we can go over the Quran and look how many verses are saying good things about the Jews, saying good things about the Christians. There are those, yes, that Allah mentions in the Quran from Jews and Christians who are bad people. But there are people claiming to be Muslim that are bad too. And what's your point? So when they start to see this, Allah may soften their heart. And if He softens their heart, they might just wake up. Because I've seen it so many times, they say to me, gee, I didn't know that. Gee, I like this for me. Hey, now guess what? That's what I'm going to say to them. Remember what you said in the beginning? Because if you found something nice in this, are you now prepared to consider worshiping your Lord alone without partners? Because that's what this is all about. And really, this will lift the fog better than anything else. This is Yusuf Festus reminding you that it's only Allah that guides. We ask Him to guide us and them all and remove this fog forever. Ameen.